Welcome to Courtside, everyone, a discussion of the post-election litigation brought by Donald Trump. It is day 44 after the election. That's literally four Scaramucci's. The waste of time continues. The litigation count stands at 1 out of 60 wins for Trump. 1 out of 60, and that one didn't get him a single vote. There has been some action in the courts today. The Michigan Trumpistas tried to bring their case to the United States Supreme Court, challenging Michigan's certification. That case is going nowhere fast. In Georgia, there was litigation about the January Senate Republican runoff. The Republicans' challenge is literally that the state can't have as many drop boxes as it has for people to vote. That's their challenge. My God. They've already lost the case today. The one court threw it out saying that there was no legal standing, no ability to bring this claim. And I mention this because while this is not about Trump, it's about the Senate Republican runoff. It is in a way about Trump because these two Republican candidates, Senators Loeffler and Perdue, took some time off from their stock trading in order to file briefs in these cases. So now, today, they're praising the Georgia Secretary of State and the like, but these are the same two jokers who last week supported Trump in the Texas case and others, saying that the election was stolen and the like. They literally tried to throw out the count of all voters in Georgia. Not to be outdone, Lynn Wood, who is the Georgia attorney, who's one of the masterminds of the Kraken lawsuit, tweeted breathlessly today, quote, "This may be the most important tweet of my life. Chief Justice John Roberts is corrupt and should resign immediately. Justice Stephen Breyer should also resign immediately. They are anti-Trumpers dedicated to preventing the truth and preventing the public from knowing the truth of real Donald Trump." The cray-cray continues in other places as well. So today we learned about some details about the December 14th Electoral College meeting in Texas. One of the GOP electors, Matt Patrick from the 32nd District, said this, attributing it to a Supreme Court clerk. Quote, "The justices, the U.S. Supreme Court justices, went into a closed room. When the Texas case was brought up, he said that he heard screaming through the walls as Justice Roberts and the other liberal justices were insisting, afraid of what would happen if they did the right thing, moral cowardice." Where to begin with this nonsense? First of all, the justices haven't even met in person since March. They've been in a pandemic. They're meeting remotely. Second, screaming? These nine justices, I think, forgot how to scream the moment that they joined the bench. The idea that they're screaming is just as plausible as that they grew wings and started flying around the conference room. Third, it's not Justice Roberts, it's Chief Justice. Fourth, other? You think that John Roberts is in, quote, other liberal? And five, how dare you speak about cowardice, sir? You're trying to disenfranchise millions of Americans with your cockamamie stories? I mean, please. Now, the opposite of this, and the nice story tonight, is the former Republican Party chairwoman in New Hampshire, Jennifer Horn. I want to read something from her USA Today op-ed today. She said, quote, "The GOP has ransacked our Constitution and attempted a coup. The Republican Party of Lincoln is no more. I'm switching my registration to independent." She has left the party over this, as you should. You know, this is not about, you know, whether Republicans are right or Democrats are right. These are the most basic foundational principles we have. Who can vote in our democracy? Finally, in other legal news, we had Senator Lindsey Graham, that paragon of virtue and consistency, calling for a special counsel over Hunter Biden and the tax investigation that he has. Now, 21 years ago, my first job at the Justice Department was actually to draft the special counsel regulations that provide for the appointment of some independent prosecutor. Now, before you go berserk, and there's all this, you know, misinformation out there, that is not the regulations that say you can't indict a sitting president. Those were written in 1974 when I was 4 years old and in the year 2000 after I left the Justice Department. I had nothing to do with that. But I did draft these regulations about when a special prosecutor can be appointed. And look, we don't know all the facts about the Hunter Biden case, and it's difficult to speculate. He's accused, it looks like, of possibly not paying $110,000 in taxes. And maybe that's the thing that would trigger a special counsel. Maybe it's not. I do think it's kind of outrageous for Lindsey Graham, of all people, to be insisting on a special counsel. After all, he's consistently defended Trump against special counsels. Trump is accused of the very same thing, underpayment of taxes. He deducted as a business expense, I kid you not, the $130,000 he paid to the porn star Stormy Daniels. He claimed that was a legitimate business expense. And then Trump literally appointed the prosecutor who was investigating that. That is the paradigmatic case for a special counsel. Maybe a special counsel is appropriate here. Maybe it's not. After all, it is the president's son. And if there's evidence of wrongdoing, it might be the right thing to do. But that's a call for the new attorney general to make. A new attorney general may decide, no, instead, I'm going to keep it with the Delaware prosecutor, appointed by Donald Trump. And that actually is what Attorney General Eric Holder did in 2009 when there was the John Edwards investigation. He was accused of various crimes, and there was a transition from George W. Bush to Barack Obama. And Barack Obama's Attorney General, Eric Holder, said, I'm going to leave the George W. Bush prosecutor in place to continue this investigation. And actually, Eric Holder recused from the investigation, giving it a lot more independence. So that's a way to do it as well. We don't know. I just think that's something that a normal attorney general would consider. What's not okay is for Bill Barr and others to try and burrow in a criminal investigation, which is what Barr did with respect to John Durham in Connecticut. He burrowed in. He said that he appointed Durham a special counsel to continue the Russia investigation. And they've been burrowing out all sorts of personnel and kind of taking these career people and taking these political people from the Trump administration and redesignating them as career officials, including like one of the more important jobs in government, which is the general counsel of the National Security Agency. They've put a total partisan in that. That is a career slot. They've done this over and over again. And now the Trump playbook is to try and do this with the Hunter Biden investigation as well. Force a special counsel now, try and rip it away from the hands of the new attorney general. And what this whole Lindsey Graham episode suggests, is that even though Trump is on his way out, his enabler Trumpistas will still be with us, spewing their toxic mix of garbage. And it is the duty of all right-thinking Americans, Democrats and Republicans alike, to insist on something better. Something that strives for even-handedness, that strives for respect. Something that says internally, hey, the shoe might be on the other side, might be on the other foot one day. What's the right answer to this problem? Not what's the answer that'll benefit me and my pals and my party. That's the question that needs to be asked. That's a question I know will be asked in the new administration. I'll see you tomorrow.